Florence's life changed. 9:28 at night with a phone call. Her cell phone rang, and she could see on the caller ID that it was Jessica, a girl that she'd been mentoring for the last couple of weeks. Florence was a woman in her mid-40s. Jessica was a woman who was about 18 years old. And now Jessica had actually called just a few minutes before, about 10 minutes before, but it was sort of late at night, so Florence decided to let it go to a voicemail. But when she called again, just 10 minutes later, she thought, this might be serious. So she picked up the phone and answered, "Hello?" Only strangely enough, there was silence. Or virtual silence. As she listened really hard, she could hear the sound of like very soft, sound like sobbing or wheezing or something on the other end of the line. And she immediately started worrying about her friend Jessica, like, maybe she's calling me because she needs help. Maybe she would like to talk, but she can't for some reason. And so she speaks, "Jessica, is that you?" says Florence. "Jessica, is that you?" But there's no answer. And then a moment later, she hears two sounds almost simultaneously. On the phone, she hears the rough sound of a car starting, and at the very same moment, she hears the same sound just outside her front door. Now, in the past few minutes leading up to this moment, there had been some conversation in Florence's house about Jessica and about how much time Florence was spending with Jessica, and frankly, some of it was kind of disparaging. Her family, maybe they were feeling envious of the amount of time that Florence was spending with her, or they were just concerned that maybe she was kind of letting her boundaries down in an inappropriate way. But anyway, they were speaking fairly disparagingly about Jessica, and Florence was kind of justifying the time that she had spent with him. At least that's what it looked like in her own mind. As she was saying, no, her time with Jessica is actually really helpful to her too. And even though she's spending a lot of time with this young girl that's just a brand new Christian and trying to get life together and all this stuff, no, really, what she's helpful to me because she's useful for my case study. She's useful for my thesis paper, and I can use her story, and it's going to help me get published. And I promise I'm not going to let her into my house, and I promise I'm not going to get too attached, and I only need her for another, you know, month or so. And she was trying to explain all these things that in her mind made a lot of sense for all the reasons why she was spending time with Jessica, but not too much, not letting her get too close. And that is when it hit her. And she realized that somehow Jessica must have been right outside her house listening to that conversation. "Jessica, is that you?" says Florence, but there's no answer. And then listening through the phone, Florence can hear what's happening with Jessica, near Jessica. She hears her pouring out her heart to the Lord. "God," Florence hears Jessica praying, "is that all I am to you? Some project? Some pathetic girl that can get saved by a professor for a case study? Is that all I am? Somebody's project?" Because if becoming a Christian means being more like them, I don't want any part of it. And as Florence is listening to Jessica's aching, honest words, she can feel her heart just sink in her gut. And the awareness of what she's been doing comes to light. And she starts to talk to the Lord just on her own. "God, what's happened to me that I would actually take advantage of a 18-year-old girl and just use her and use our friendship for a case study? God, what's happened to my heart?" And as she's praying this, these pictures come back into her mind, these memories, these very vivid memories of when Florence was 8 years old and she was in children's church and she first invited Jesus into her heart. And she thought of the times when she was a teenager and, you know, in youth group and going on short-term missions trips and serving at Bible camps and how passionate she was for God. You know, all the way she took all these steps of bold obedience. I mean, she waited for marriage. She was sharing her faith. She was tithing. She was reaching out to her neighbors. And then she got the picture of her about 20 years ago, sitting on the beach, reading the Bible. Not because she had to, just because she loved to. Just seeking God in that still place. And how in that moment back then, there was nobody she would rather hang out with more than Jesus. And she remembered all that. And she thought, wow, what's happened to me? What's happened to me? Just then on the phone, it got quiet because Jessica's car apparently stalled and died. Jessica, Florence says into the phone, Jessica, can you hear me, Jessica? And that's when Jessica realized that when she had thrown her purse into her passenger seat, her phone had accidentally dialed the last number she rang. And she picks up the phone. Florence? Jessica, says Florence, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And that night, at 9:32 p.m., Florence's healing began as Jessica, this 18-year-old brand new believer, ministered to her mentor and offered her forgiveness. Today we're talking about the Bible. And, we love the Bible. We really do. I mean, the Bible is God's word. We say it's the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. It is the best window we have into the heart and character and will of God. We describe it as our daily bread. It is a double-edged sword. It's all these things, all these rich metaphors to say how valuable Scripture is to us. We love the Bible so much, we buy little cases for it so it doesn't get scuffed. And, we put our notes in that and in the Bible, and we get really ticked off if public officials take the words of the Bible off of buildings. You know, we in church world, we argue about what translation is best and all those different kind of things. But one thing we actually don't do very much of is read it. And when we do read it, often, not always, but often, we read it with these kind of funny motives, like, I'm right, and you're wrong, so I'm going to find a verse, it's in here somewhere, that will just show you that God's on my side, now I've got a verse. And that's not teaching. At that moment, that's pride. Or we do the thing like, okay, I read a chapter a day today in my quiet time, and I don't remember it. I haven't really thought about how it applies to my life, but I did it. I made it through the motions. I got it done. Don't I get points for that? You know, where honestly our motivation at that point was guilt. We read for at least three motivations. The first one is this. We read for information. You know, like trade journals, magazines. We read just to get just the facts, ma'am. We read to get information. That's great. We read for entertainment, like that John Grisham novel you took to the beach last time you went on vacation. If not, I highly recommend it. It's great. You read for entertainment. Wonderful. We read for relationship. And when we read for relationship, it changes everything. Because there's a lot of report cards in this world, and all of them are boring. There's a big grid, and there's little phrases, and there's some letters and numbers, and you could look at 1,000 of them, and it just float right past you. But if it's one of our daughter's report cards, now you've got my attention. Because that report card tells me something important about someone I love when you read for relationship? There's a lot of medical charts in the world. Some of them are very thick. Some of them are filled with very funny handwriting. Many of them have great big words that you and I don't understand very well. And, you know, they would just sort of fly on past us. They're all kind of the same, unless it's that chart of a friend or a family member, or it's your own chart or a loved one. Then if you have access to that chart, you're going to read it. And you're going to, and then, gentlemen, it pains me to say this. When I don't understand something in that chart, I might even ask for directions. Right? Because when our motivation is relationship, this chart helps me understand someone I love. That gives me the why. That gives me the why to press through when, you know, there's some stuff that doesn't make sense, or some stuff I don't understand, or some stuff where there's great big hard to pronounce words. And I'll press through it, and I'll sometimes even ask for help and instruction, because I really want to know what's in that chart. And I really want to understand, because it affects somebody I love. We see this great illustration of how there's different ways we can read, and the difference between just reading the Bible or reading for relationship. We see a great example in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In this case, it's Jesus who's quoting scripture, and he's being tempted by the devil. And what I'd like us to do today is just to hear the passage. We're not going to put the words up on the screen, but I'm going to ask us to dim the lights, and if you'd like, even to close your eyes. You don't have to do this if you don't want to, but just close your eyes and listen. Just listen.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
You notice as you listen that both Jesus and the devil, they both use scripture. But the devil brought up scripture because he was trying to win an argument and make a point. And Jesus clung to scripture out of a desire to be obedient and to listen to the voice of his Father. You notice how the devil was throwing lies at Jesus, and Jesus was able to rebuke that lie. He was able rebuke would be the right word. But he was able to push back against it because he knew God's word. He was able to overcome the lie with the truth. And ultimately, that's what I would hope for every single one of us. Because, you know, we're going to be tempted. We're going to have lies thrown at us. That we would have God's word and know God's word enough that when those lies come into our life, that we're able to respond with the truth. Actually, it seems to me that there are at least three keys that we need in order to fully understand and unlock Scripture's power in our life. And that's what I want to talk about for the next couple of minutes, these three keys. The first one is this, is to have a working knowledge of the Bible. I'd like you to pull out your insert. See this little piece of paper? It's got on one side it says Reading for Life Change. And the other side it just says About the Bible. And we're going to be doing a little bit of fill in the blank stuff. So about the Bible, like for example, the word Bible simply means book. The Bible is a book. Actually, it's a big book. 66 books in all. There's 39 books in what we think of as, we call the Old Testament or the Jewish Testament. And that's this first part here. And then towards the end is what we call the New Testament. And there's 27 books there. In the 37 books of the Old Testament, these are books that happened before the time of Jesus and are ultimately, we believe, pointing to Jesus and our need for Jesus. And then afterwards, the 27 books are the books about Jesus or about the formation of the church that was based on Jesus. And what I would hope for every person in regards to the Bible is that we would know the types of literature that are in the Bible and that we'd be able to know the overall story of the Bible and how the different books fit into that story. Because when we know that, when you're opening it up, you go, oh, now I know how to read it. And if for some reason you don't have a Bible right now, because we're going to just be flipping through one, and you would like one, maybe just pop your hand up, and our Christmas elf will happily deliver a Bible to your hot little hand. So there's different kinds of literature in the Bible. Like, for example, there's history. So if you have a Bible and you kind of flip through the first part, like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and there's Joshua, Judges, these are books of history, books that are telling about the creation of the world and the formation of the nation of Israel, how God gave a promise to a man by the name of Abram that a nation would be formed from him, and this nation would be a light to the world. And so we see this family growing and thriving, and family going to Egypt, family becoming slaves, that's bad, and then a family being freed by God under Moses and finding its own land and its own nation. We see about the law being given to this people. A law that shows them about God's heart and God's expectation and what God wants for them. We see a nation that when it follows God's law, even though imperfectly, we see a nation that's blessed and thrives and becomes a blessing to the nations around it. We also see these times where the nation rebels against God's law and pushes it out of its life or forgets God's law. And then the nation suffers as a result. And we see this law that though it points us to the heart of God, a law that causes us to realize that nobody can actually fulfill the law and points us to the need that we have for Jesus, for somebody to fulfill the law, for somebody to complete all of the things that it requires of us, somebody to be our Savior and our Redeemer. So we have these history books. We have books of poetry like Psalms, like if you find your Bible. If you go right down, hi-ya, karate chop, in the middle, pretty good chance you're going to find the Psalms. I missed mine. There we go. But these are books of poetry. This is Jesus's iPod. You know, the stuff that Jesus grew up listening to, the songs that he would be sung in church. And so, so we've got books of poetry, and poetry is also scattered throughout other books in the Bible as well. We've got books of prophecy. So once you get past the Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Solomon, got to check that one out. We get to the prophetic books, people that God sent into the nation of Israel in particular times of history to tell them to repent, or if they're in times of suffering, to issue words of comfort, but very particular words to very particular times that many times extended beyond that particular moment. So words that were true, very true in the moment, and then would continue to be true, echoing forward into history. Even some prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. It's kind of exciting. So we have these books of prophecy. We also have the Proverbs, which incidentally is called Proverbs. I like that. So you have Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, these words of just wisdom, of just general truths that we can live by. If you're starting out reading in the Old Testament, I would strongly recommend that you try reading in either Psalms or Proverbs. They're great places to start. For most people, you can either empathize with some of the heart and emotion going on in the Psalms. Like when we sing a lot of the praise songs, how lovely is your dwelling? You're just quoting scripture. You're quoting from Jesus's iPod, back in the Psalms. Or the book of Proverbs, just really common sense, helpful guides for life. Great place to start. in the Old Testament. Then we get to the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? And these are four accounts of the life of Jesus. People that knew Jesus and are writing down what they saw and what they heard. If you're starting to read in the New Testament, I would strongly recommend that you start in the Gospels, because ultimately all of this is a story, the whole Bible is a story about Jesus. So you might as well read, you know, what did Jesus say, what did he do, you know, all that kind of stuff. Of the Gospels, I recommend Mark as a good place to start because it's the most chronological. It starts at the beginning and ends at the end. Very helpful. It's very fast-paced. It's pretty short. It's even funny. Kind of nice. So great place to start. Most people can understand it, especially if you find a translation that you know, that's more recent and probably in a more modern form of English. Very helpful. So you have the Gospels, then we have the Epistles, and these are letters that early church leaders wrote to early churches, just kind of talking about the things that the churches were experiencing in life. So often principles for living and things like that, and they can especially be applicable once we know some of the context of what was going on in the churches that these early church leaders were writing to. Now, if the last 5 minutes of just kind of going through the Bible, if that was helpful to you and you went, oh, that unlocks something for me, this first key, this is the thing for you to be working on, is getting a good working knowledge of the Bible. Know where to find stuff. There's some resources that can help. There's books like 30 Days to Understanding the Bible or How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. And actually, I need to confess to you, we got a great big stack of 30 Days to Understanding the Bible so that anybody that wanted one could take one home. We had such a huge response in the first service from people that are really hungry to grow that we're wiped out. They're all gone. But here's the deal. If you want a copy, write that down in a connection card. Please give us your name, or it's going to be very hard for us to get it to you, right? So, but write that down in the connection card, and we'll get you a copy, because we want you to know the Bible. We want you to know how to navigate it, how to find stuff in it, because that's one of the keys. That's one of the keys for being able to unlock the power of Scripture in your life. Now, the second key is this, is just having a plan, you know, some kind of a Bible reading plan. Sometimes people try to go through the Bible in a year or a Bible in 2 years, and the speed doesn't really matter as much as there's a way that on a regular basis you're involved in reading the Bible. There's some resources that can help. There's this cool little website called BiblePlan.org. You can get it there, or from ColumbiaGrove.org, Thirsty Resources. We have a link there as well. If you want to read the Bible in a year, it'll just send you an email of, you know, here's your passage for the day, or if you want to read it through in 2 years, you can do it that way. You know, and if you miss a day, don't worry about it. But the point is, have a plan. Have a plan. And start getting yourself into a rhythm where the Bible, in some way or another, is a regular part of life. That's how we grow. Or the third key is to memorize some key passages that there's truth in and lies out. Or you could call this, it's kind of crass, but call this self-inflicted brainwashing. Because here's the deal. There are things that you believe to be true about yourself. Some of which, I mean, if you sit down and think about it, you know that they're lies, but you still live by them anyways. Some of you have been told your whole life you're a loser. You don't matter. You are just a mistake. You'll never amount to anything. Now, that's a lie. I'm telling you, that's a lie. But here's the deal. You believe it. And that's a functional belief that you hold. You believe that to be true, even though if you sat down and think about it, you know it's not true, but you believe it to be true. One of the best ways to confront that lie is the same way that Jesus did when the devil was sending lies to him, is overcome that lie with Scripture. So as that lie passes through your mind again, you will never amount to anything. Then in your own mind you say, before I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Or God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That's from Psalm 139. that you have some Bible verses at the top of your memory, so that when the devil comes and he plays his old tricks on you and he tries to poke you and beat you down with those functional lies, that you're able to overcome it with truth. Now, for each of us, we've got our own sets of lies that we believe, you know, and our favorite sins that we like to indulge in. And so your list of kind of key passages they might be, you know, different from other people's. But we want to put some resources in your hands so that these passages can be just part of life for you. That's why we have the memory songs that you can download and put on your iPod and annoy your family with. And is so that Scripture just gets embedded in your mind. Or if you're a visual learner, you know, those little memory cards, whether that's putting it on your mirror or your dashboard or wherever you need a reminder of God's presence, just so that these Scriptures become part of life, so the lies get shoved out because the truth is in there. So here's the big question. Of these keys, what's the key that you're most call to develop today? Is your key is you just go, God, I want to read the Bible, but I just don't know where to start. Maybe your key is actually turn over your page to it says, you know, reading for life change. And there's the area you most want to develop. I'm not going to make you share this with anybody, but I would like you just for a moment, with your pen in hand, to kind of look at those different things and go, which is the area for me that I most want to develop? And whatever that one is, just check that box. I'm not going to make you share it with anybody, but just for you, check that box. And maybe be thinking about what is the next step I can take to growth in that area. And then write that down at the bottom. My next step is. Because maybe your step is developing a working knowledge of the Bible, and you just need to get your hands on some resources. Or having a consistent reading plan. Maybe to tap into some resources there. Get a study Bible or a one-year Bible or you know, subscribe to an email thing or get it on your iPod or your iPhone. I mean, there's a lot of ways this can happen. But what's your step? Or memorizing key passages. What's your step? Or maybe your step is, maybe you're here today and you just really related to Florence's story. And you remember there was a time in your life when your passion for God burned white hot. And as you take an honest assessment of your heart today, you say, God, what happened? And maybe today that step is just to say, God, fresh start, please. Bring me back to my first love. Remind me again of that relationship that we have. Lord, increase my love for you. Increase my love for your word. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you. Actually, if it is, and today you're just saying, God, increase my love for your word. Increase it. Build it up, or maybe even bring it back. Is that you? I want us to pray for each other today. I'm not going to put you on the spot, don't worry. But if that's you, what's your step? Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks for its power. Thanks for its truth. Thank you that through thousands of years, people that applied it, that didn't just use it to make a point or to win a battle, but listened to it, that these are people that changed the world. They built hospitals and missions and soup kitchens and churches and universities. And God, may that power rest on your people today. God, would you increase our love? Would you increase my love for your word? Let me burn for it again. Let me crave it again. And Lord, for my friends here, as we take steps in growing and try to get connected to some resources that can help with wherever we are, Lord, just pray that you give us the strength to act on our convictions. And Lord, may we be a church that knows your word and is living it in our lives enough that when the devil comes playing his old games, tapping on the window and speaking the lies, that we would be able to speak truth back. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.